April 8th was a Monday this year. It was one of those first nice warm days, breaking up the winter. That was the Monday right before we had that crazy Thursday snowstorm. And if you were in St. Paul on Marshall Avenue by that Minoco by St. Thomas, if you were there at 4:52 p.m., here's what you would have seen. A black car wrecked in the middle of an intersection. Eight police trucks stopping traffic, an ambulance, and a fire truck. And a whole bunch of people all along the sidewalk saying, "What happened? Did anybody see this?" And as I was there, I told people over and over again, because at 4:47 p.m., I had seen the whole thing. I was just going out for a jog on this nice day, and I came back. This is right around where I live, and I heard sirens coming up from Lake Street Bridge. I just looked down, and what came out was not police cars, but a black Subaru going 50 miles per hour in the wrong side of the street into oncoming traffic. The car came in the intersection, Marshall and Creighton, slammed on the brakes, tried to turn left, like towards 94, screeched out, loud screech, and went head-on into the light pole. Crack! Airbags deployed, traffic was stopping, it was like time kind of froze for a second, and I was about to run towards the car until the driver jumped out and began running on foot away from the police. Now I realized, this isn't just like an accident, this is a high-speed chase. And this guy ran up the street into this alleyway, and the police came roaring in the intersection. The first thing I did was I picked up the phone and called the people I live with, my brother priest. I said, "Hey, get inside, lock the doors, there's something going on out here. Because the alleyway he ran into is right where my house is. I'm waiting to, like, you know, find this guy, like, ambush me in the bushes or something. What's going on here?" So the police were just converging from all over. I have never seen so many police cars from Minneapolis and St. Paul trying to get this guy. The next few minutes, I'm watching this thing. I talked to a woman he almost hit on the bridge. Talked to a guy with a police scanner. And after a few minutes, this guy with the police scanner says, "They got him. They got him with a police dog." And it was all over, and things kind of calmed down. Now, the best part about this was, as I walked back towards the other side of the block where the crash was, besides there being no major injuries, there was somebody who lives in an apartment above the intersection with, you know, all these flashing lights, people gathering from all over, and they pointed their stereo out the window, and they were playing Bad Boys by Inner Circle. You know, the theme song to Cops, "Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?" And it just kind of provided a little bit of relief to the tension that I had. And all these people who, there were, like, I was like the only pedestrian in that split second, lots of cars there, but only pedestrian, all these people were wondering what's happening. And because I was a witness, I could tell them what had happened before. Right, they saw the effect. They just saw smashed car, police everywhere. But they're wondering, like, what caused this? What happened here? Because it wasn't just a traffic accident, some kind of manhunt, some kind of danger or crime or who knows what happened. And so I told them, here's the cause to the effect that you see. Now, the thing is, that day for me was a bit emotional and kind of wound down from that. But in the grand scheme of things, that disruption hasn't changed my life that much. Right? It was an interesting day. It was like, what happened? And I tried to look up online something about what happened or the aftermath. I can't find a single article anywhere about it. There was one other Twitter poster who put something online about it. No news article, no coverage. I think because that Monday was the NCAA championship. So every news outlet and reporter, they're over at the stadium. They're over reporting on the sports. So to me, it wasn't in the news. It wasn't a huge deal. You know, I prayed for whatever happened, but it just went along the rest of my life pretty much. Go with me now back in time a little bit to another disruption. another cause and effect where a lot of people saw the effect. They saw something was happening, but they wondered, what caused this? Men and women, many years ago, families began to band together from all kinds of races, languages, every social strata. They began to come together in this unity of people never seen before, who were full of joy and mirth, who took care of the poorest of the poor, who said they had good news that could change the entire world. And this group of people was disruptive, meaning people took notice of them. It was something that was new in society 2,000 years ago. This was the early church. And when people noticed, what is up with this group of people that is so different, that every single person can be welcomed into this community, and there's so much joy there, they wondered, they saw the effect, but they said, what's the cause of this? Something's happening with these people, this different kind of way of life. And remember, the first Christians, they were called followers of the way of Jesus. When they asked these people, what happened to cause this? The witnesses told them what happened was God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good. He healed and delivered people. And even after he was crucified, he rose from the grave. And I met him. I saw him. Those first eyewitnesses of Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, Peter and John, even 500 people at once saw and met Jesus risen from the grave, something that had never happened before. And that disruption would not go away. It never left the news cycle because things kept on changing with these people who found a new kind of humanity given to them as a gift by their master and Lord. And that disruption continues to reverberate through our world from those original witnesses. That the tomb is empty, that God's Son is alive, and that yes, if you believe in him, meaning if you entrust your life to this Jesus, you can experience this new humanity, this new way of life. Freedom from sin, even freedom from the fear of death. Those Christians were so happy in the beginning because they were being killed for their faith and they weren't afraid. They knew the power of the Holy Spirit. When a person accepts Christ into his or her own life and is baptized, they become literally a new creation. You become a new organism. It's almost as if your DNA changes, but it's even deeper than that. That's why for Easter, the Christian symbols are the egg that hatches and becomes this new life. The caterpillar that once earthbound is now changed into this beautiful thing that can fly and float in the sky. But even that doesn't really touch on the power of what Christ does in us now that he is risen. Let me give you one more illustration that I think sheds some light on this. We all saw the images in Paris of that beautiful cathedral burning. Notre Dame, thanks be to God, it's not collapsed, but it has been burnt through and through. People have been kind of drawing a parallel to the resurrection, saying, well, we're going to rebuild this, we're going to resurrect Notre Dame, and that's great, that's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see it when it's been restored. But that's a little different than what resurrection actually is in Jesus. Here's what would be actually more close to what God wants to do for us. Imagine if after the flames were put out in Paris, and even before the first crane began to rebuild one part of that cathedral, imagine if overnight people woke up and saw the cathedral, without the help of man, reconstructing itself, repairing itself, putting the ceiling back into place, even restructuring itself to become even more big and beautiful than it was before, be something otherworldly. Almost like the cathedral possessed life and beauty in itself and just had to express it. That is who Jesus is. That is Christ. He does not just have life, he is life within himself. And to anyone who believes in Jesus and accepts him as Lord and Savior, that life, that unending life that can change everything, comes into you and I. And even should our bodies be destroyed and buried, even should that happen, Christ will bring us back to life in the resurrection, because nothing can stop the power of God and his love for us. That's the good news today, that Christ's life cannot be destroyed, and that every single human being is invited to come share in his life and become part of God's family that we call the church. This place of life and love and communion, where the poor are fed, where love is freely shared and given, where the good news is proclaimed. This is our Alleluia today. This is something worth asking about. Did you see that? What happened here to cause this new life? If somebody would have walked down Marshall Avenue and seen that scene of the wreck and not been too interested and just walked on by, I wouldn't have blamed them, because we hear about all kinds of crashes and wrecks all the time. Human life is full of them. But if anyone here is hearing and seeing this news and wondering what could have caused this, I do hope that you investigate it. I do hope you explore it. I do hope you ask, could I also have this kind of life and joy? Because God wants to give it to you freely, without price. God has redeemed the world and desires for us to know his love and be joined together. And it begins with accepting Christ into our hearts and being baptized. Today we celebrate a victory feast on this altar together, the sacred banquet of Christ's body and blood. We celebrate because death is not the last word, but life is. Darkness is not the last word, but love is. And today we have to sing and exclaim that God is good, that he has raised his son, and that in him we can have unending life. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. This is the good news. Alleluia.